Welcome to Quilt Achievements Markets Uncut podcast, your weekly insight into the topics and trends that we have been exploring for you here at Quilt Achievements. Remember, so you don't miss future episodes, be sure to hit the follow button on whichever streaming platform you are listening on by following our hashtag QC Weekly Comment on LinkedIn. I'm your host, Oswald Odunton, investment manager for the Managed Portfolio Services based out of our London office. And this week, I'm pleased to be joined by regular podcast guest, Richard Carter, our head of fixed interest research. Now, last week was noticeably eventful for central banks globally. Firstly, the former governor of the Bank of England, Mark Carney, announced snap elections in his new role as Prime Minister of Canada. Now, this move was anticipated since he currently does not hold a seat in the House of Commons and is also leveraging the Liberal Party's recent momentum in their opposition to the Trump administration. Now, Richard, do you think he can take it all the way?
Oh, crikey, we'll see. We didn't used to know anything about Canadian politics, did we, Oz? It wasn't really something we spent much time worrying about. But now the whole tariffs and the whole 51st state stuff by Trump, Canada politics is quite interesting. I mean, the Liberal Party, Carney's party, was miles behind in the polls. Now they've had this huge bounce. So I'm not surprised that Carney's grasped the nettle and decided to go for a snap election. So we'll see. But the Canadian electorate will have to weigh up who is the best person to deal with Trump and this kind of the mood that he's in. So, we know from Carney's time at the Bank of England, he's a smooth operator. So we'll see how he gets on.
Definitely. I know some of the Canadian politics have pointed to the safety he seemed to present during Brexit times as well. So we will see. But elsewhere in actual interest rate decisions, despite efforts from Trump on his Truth Social platform, urging the Fed to reduce borrowing costs as April 2nd's tariff continued to loom, it was a unanimous decision from all voting members to keep rates on hold, as the Fed have also forecasted weaker growth and higher inflation. So, Richard, what impact does this have on the pace of rate cuts in the US, and how did the markets take the news?
Quite well, actually. I mean, there's no, you know, the committee will be doing their best to completely ignore whatever Trump says, but like the rest of us, if only we could. But, his whole tariff and economic agenda, you know, really, certainly sort of short to medium term, is going to lead to, you should say, weaker growth and higher inflation. So that kind of leaves central banks a little bit back where they started. It's not really a great mix, but it means that maybe rates can come down at some point, but it's going to be a pretty gradual process. But I think the market was quite happy that Powell sounded pretty optimistic about the state of the economy. He didn't think that tariffs are going to, present a massive inflation risk, and hopefully the impact would be transitory. Although, of course, we remember that not very fondly during the sort of post-COVID, post-Ukraine invasion kind of period, where it turns out that inflation pressures were anything but transitory. But markets took it pretty well. They're not, the Fed is just going to have to look at the hard economic evidence, things like, unemployment rates and things like that, because there's so much news and rumor flying around. There has been a weakening in confidence surveys, but I don't think that's going to be enough for them to cut rates just yet. So it's going to be a pretty gradual process as the year goes on, I think.
Thanks, Richard. And then moving over to the Bank of England and the Bank of Japan, they also maintained their interest rates amidst global economic uncertainty, especially given the Trump administration. And in Japan, that economy is currently experiencing a regime shift and is more susceptible to reciprocal tariffs from the United States compared to here in the UK. So with the US and Japan trade deficit exceeding 60 billion, they're probably shaking in their boots. Meanwhile, the United Kingdom is engaged in negotiations with the US regarding the digital tax service levy, and that will target your large US tech companies. And this is despite facing weak growth prospects as well, and the impending spending reductions we'll hear about on Wednesday. And notably, Catherine Mann, who previously voted for a half a point reduction in February's meeting, opted to keep rates steady. Does all this news raise significant concerns about potential difficulties ahead for the UK economy in managing inflation?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it was the market, in contrast to the Fed, I think was a bit disappointed with the Bank of England meeting, certainly bond markets, because, the people who were quite dovish at the last meeting, as you mentioned, suddenly turned around and decided there was no need for rate cuts at this stage. And I think it, you know, goes to what you kind of said, that they are concerned about the inflation pressures in the near term, not just from tariffs, because I think, for the UK economy, that's probably not likely to be a massive game changer. It's that we've got this spike in CPI coming over the next few months. Some analysts thinking it will get back as high as 4%, due to a variety of factors, including things like fuel costs and tax rises and all the rest of it, and strong wage growth. So, yes, I think if you look at UK growth numbers, you think, come on, Bank of England, time to get those rate cuts done and get rates down below 4%, down to 3% or something. But they're just too concerned about sticky inflation pressures to do that. And they need to be reassured that there aren't any sort of second round effects from this upcoming spike. So I think we've got to wait for 2 to 3 months at least for the Bank of England to be confident enough to cut rates again.
Definitely. And at the time of the recording, the Chancellor has not announced spending cuts yet, but we do anticipate there to be a wave of cuts, given that the initial £9.9 billion buffer has disappeared due to what we've mentioned about higher borrowing costs and lower growth forecasts. And last week, we have already seen some substantial changes announced, such as modifications to government departments or regulatory bodies, and planned welfare cuts, which were already earmarked to save about £5 billion. Additionally, we're yet to see the full impact on economic growth, which will obviously impact inflation and the central bank, especially from policies such as the increase in national insurance contributions. So my question to you is, what options are available to Rachel Reeves at the moment, and have the markets already priced this in?
Well, she doesn't have a huge amount of options, if I'm being honest. They did a lot of tax rises at the last budget. They kind of pretty much promised they're not going to do that again, which leaves the options of, higher borrowing or spending cuts. And higher borrowing would not go down very well with gilt investors. And part of the reason why they're struggling with the borrowing numbers is because borrowing costs are pretty high, as you mentioned. And the numbers we had out at the back end of last week for UK borrowing weren't great again. And that led to a bit of another rise in gilt yields. So it's spending cuts, I'm afraid. And we've already heard a few announcements on that. I don't think they're going to be sort of slash and burn immediately. I think the way these things work, it will be kind of back-end loaded spending cuts that probably won't take place for 2 to 3 years, if ever, but will allow Rachel Reeves to claim, or the OBR to suggest, that she's going to meet her fiscal targets. But I think markets are, have they priced it in? It's quite difficult to know with these sorts of things, but I think there is the expectation that they will meet the fiscal rules. But the gilt issuance is still pretty high. There's still going to be a lot of borrowing going on. And with that and sticky inflation, it's not been a brilliant backdrop for the bond market.
Thanks, Richard. Thank you for your insights today. And thank you to everyone for listening. Did you enjoy our discussion on the podcast today? We'd love to hear from our listeners, so please review the show now wherever you're listening, and share it on your socials and tag us at Quilt Achievia. To make sure you don't miss a future episode, tap the subscribe button, and we will be back next week. But in the meantime, head over to our website, www.quiltachievia.com, where you can read the accompanying market overview, as well as subscribe to our weekly comment newsletter. You can also stay up to date with our thoughts on market news, industry insights, and our upcoming events and webinars on our website or on our social media pages. Finally, do you have any questions you'd like to ask one of our experts for the next podcast? Simply ask them via the weekly comments page on our website. We'd love to hear your questions. And that's it for today. So thank you, Richard, for your time, and to all of you for listening. See you next time.